another episode of the What We Gonna Do podcast. I am your host, AJ. I'm excited. I don't even know if I can contain myself because this is the first time I'm having the opportunity to do this. It's a long time coming. If you read the show notes, you should know the spectacular guest that I have on the show today. Now, I'm not going to introduce this gentleman just yet, but just know this is going to be a good one. It's a change of pace. We're talking sports, but it's going to be good. I told y'all I'm back to doing the quotes. So first, I got a quote, then we're going to get into the rest of this stuff. Never be the one with the most to say and the least to offer. So I'm going to repeat that again. Never be the one with the most to say and the least to offer. I want y'all to sit. I want y'all to think about that or whatever as we get into this show. Please check out the Premium Podcast playlist on Podbean, exclusively on Podbean. I just dropped 3 new playlists. Go and support. Help me help you. These are long-form content. Please check them out. You can visit me or you can hit me up, whatever you want to call it, on Twitter and Instagram at WhatWeGonDoPod. That's G-O-N-E. If you want to find any and everything about me, about the show, whatever you're looking for, visit Linktree.com/WhatWeGonDoPod. All this stuff in the show notes or whatever. And definitely go out and leave me a review. I feel like y'all going to enjoy this one. So if you do, go to Podchaser. Go wherever you can find me and leave me some type of review. Okay, so like I said, this is monumental. You know what I mean? This is a big deal for me, man, because I rock with this dude, and this dude has had me on his show more than enough times, and I appreciate it every time, but I'm glad to finally have him on mine. Hopefully the quality sounds good. This is the first time I'm using this software, so y'all got to bear with me. Please welcome to the show, CJ, a.k.a. CEO Hayes, host of the Awakened Soul podcast, host of Love, Lust, and Badass Soul, co-host of everything else in the world. Now I'm trying to remember. We just talked about this, whatever. Man, welcome to the show, man. Go introduce yourself, man.
What's going on? I'm CEO Hayes, a.k.a. the Red Desert Assassin, a.k.a. your mama's favorite podcaster, host of The Awakened Soul, co-host of Love, Lust, and Badass Soul, one of the hosts on The Breaks Radio, and also a co-host of The Film Frequency.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. 2020 has gotten off to a great start for me. I'm tired because I've been working my ass off, but I'm really excited about the things that have already happened and what's to come.
Man, look, I'm always happy. You know, I watch your moves. We talked a little bit before the podcast started, man, and so I'm definitely looking forward to some of those things. I think even me and you may have something going on, but I ain't gonna talk about that. I thought about it and then I took it out. I was like, man,
they're not ready for that.
But look, just know, man, can you tell them where to find you, your socials and all that? We're gonna do it at the end too or whatever, but go ahead and tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, if you wanna follow me personally, you can follow me at CEO Hayes, at CEOHAIZE. If you follow that, you'll see all my podcasts. I'm not going to plug all the social media handles, all the podcasts. So check that out. You can also go to thebreaksmedianetwork.com. Where you can also find my podcast as well as every podcast that's on the network.
Boom. And look, I don't even know. I done shouted this man out so many different times. I feel like at least. But, yes, the man has a podcast network. So please go visit their website. Go check it out. Matter of fact, I need to make a bullet and go put some of that into the show notes. So I'm going to try to remember that and get all that in the show notes. Now,
and I definitely want to point out, like, it's a media network. So it's not just a podcast. And we actually have our first short film coming out. I'm aiming to have it out by March or April. It's a short film. It's only going to be, like, less than 10 minutes. But we're really getting in. 2020 is when you start seeing a lot of shit from the Breaks Media. That last year was just kind of us laying the foundation. This year is where you're going to see us take shit to the next level.
That's what's up. Yeah, excuse me. I was on a Twitter Live doing something earlier today, and that's actually what I said. I was like, well, he's not just a pop. I'm like, the motherfucker, he do everything, okay? So, look, like he said, go check him out wherever he is. And he do a little bit of everything. Dabble's a man that wears many hats. Father. Definitely got to give him a shout-out for that, man. I love to shout-out the fathers and you know, especially active fathers, and this guy is definitely an active father. And we're probably somewhere down the line, we definitely got to have a conversation about that, just fatherhood and being men and stuff like that. But one more thing before I get into the full WNBA and just talking about basketball and a new CBA. In December, you said, and I quote, there are only four people who have lifetime passes for anything I am a part of. And I was on that list. I told you I was going to bookmark it. Can you explain for the people why I was on that list? I just want people to know, because everybody may not know, like, I'm really a cool dude.
I think that, when you give people lifetime passes, you want people who are going to hold you accountable. You also want people who aren't going to just agree with you just because of your position, right? And me and you have had several disagreements, both publicly, but never on the podcast. Usually when we record together, we've always been on the same page. But I enjoy conversing with you. Like, I legit enjoy your perspective, even when it differs from mine. And so because of that, you always have a pass in anything I do. You always have, like, if I know if I'm tripping, AJ's going to be the first one in my DMs. Like, hey, bro, I listened to what you had to say. This is why I disagree with. And then there's going to be, like, 3 or 4 messages to follow it. But I appreciate that shit. Because I think, especially with me being in podcasting and being able to do what I've done in a short amount of time, there are a lot of people who want to work with me because they see what I've done and they see the work ethic, but they're kind of afraid. They pull their jab some, and I'm not someone like, I love having conversations, especially when we're opposed and not an argument. Notice I'm not saying argue, because I don't like to argue with people, but I love having conversations and hearing different perspectives and point of views. And because of that, you always got to pass on what anything I do.
Man, I appreciate that, man. You know, I call you top dog, you know what I mean? You basically Suge Knight or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, it's good to get on social media and meet different people, and I always try to have genuine interactions. Like, it's not about how many numbers you get, how many followers, how many this, how many that. Like, I really try not to get caught up in all of that. I really try to talk to people like they're people. So, like, an individual like yourself, you could be a person who don't fool with a lot of people. Man, look, I got this going on. I got this going on. My podcast got this new list. Da, da, da. I ain't finna fool with you. But you do things that maybe other people in your position wouldn't necessarily, which is actually pretty dope, man. I mean, you were everything in just my experience, you know what I mean, has been cool. And like you say, man, when I do talk to you and when I do have conversations with you, it's straight up conversations, man, because I'm talking to you, man to man, human to human, this, you know what I mean, listening to your content, because I'm also a fan of the show. So it's levels just, you know, in that. And just like you said, man, us talking behind the scenes and really, you know, getting to break bread has been dope. So, man, definitely, you know, glad to know you and definitely glad to be a part of that exclusive club.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, we're going to jump into it. I know we didn't talk long enough. We didn't got all the introductions out the way. First, and now look, I'm going to ask this. I don't want you to answer because I want to give you some fast facts. I want to give everybody some fast facts. And then I want you to, you know, kind of tell me what you know. So, first question, how much do you know about the WNBA? So, the fast facts I have is pretty much, the league started play in 1997. I did not know that. I literally, until I looked it up, I thought they had been around a little bit longer. The WNBA began with 8 teams, and currently they have a total of 12 teams. The top earner currently in the WNBA is making $127,500, which is crazy. I actually had the numbers, and I think I may have them further down, of like the minimum earner in the NBA or whatever, and I think it's like $883,000, which is just like ridiculous when you look at that wage gap or whatever. USA women's basketball team surprisingly has won 8 out of 10 Olympics. Pretty much since the founding in 1976, they have 8 gold, 1 silver, and 1 bronze. They're pretty much the, you know, as far as being in the Olympics, they are the winningest out of, I think, all of the countries or whatever. I literally had no idea. So coming back to the top, CJ, how much do you know about the WNBA?
I know a lot. My daughter is a huge basketball fan, and about 2 or 3 years ago, we started watching the WNBA because, you know, I asked her, I was like, well, we always watching the NBA. Do you watch the WNBA this season? She was like, yeah. So we started watching it, and I'm someone who could watch 10 bums play 5-on-5 basketball off the street. I just enjoy basketball that much. So we kind of got into it. And so, like, after the CBA, I kind of started doing my research on, like, how much the WNBA makes and how much the players make in relation to that. But, yeah, I'm a consistent watcher of the WNBA for, like, the last 3 seasons.
Okay. That's what's up. I feel like you just took a shot at the big three because you talked about bums playing 5-on-5 or something like that. I feel, you know what I mean? I feel like that was a shot at Ice Cube, but we'll keep it going. We're talking about the WNBA right now. So for me, like, I had seen it, and like I said, I had thought they had been around a little bit longer, and I saw games kind of here and there because I don't watch women's basketball. I don't, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but I don't watch at the college level. I don't watch at the WNBA. I tried, though. I really did try, but it's just harder. The men's, like the NBA and even college, you know what I mean, the NCAA men's, it's just like more entertaining for me. It's not enough action going on. You got some scorers and you got some people that do some nice things, but it's so different. Like, Bronny and I think Sierra Canyon, they getting all these, you know, I think they damn near filled up an arena and all of this, like an NBA arena or something like that. And I think they getting like more views and stuff than like WNBA games, which is crazy. But I'm like, man, that's just how it is, like certain aesthetics that you're looking for. When I watch baseball and soccer are so boring to me because people are running around most of the time. There's only a little bit of action or whatever. When somebody hits a home run, when somebody, you know, steals a base, something like that. But other than that, it's a lot of standing around. Not to say women's basketball is like that, but women's basketball, and I know some of the stuff I'm going to get in trouble for, but women's basketball to me is like, and I love women. I support them. I want them to have a league and all of this, but it's like some YMCA type of stuff or whatever, man. I'm going to get into some of that later because I know I'm going to give away everything in the episode if I keep talking. Okay. Can you name some players just off the top of your head?
Oh, in the WNBA?
In the WNBA, sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you got Skylar Diggins, who's I don't think she's retired. I know she's talked about retiring here shortly because, like, she's had a lot of health issues. You got Della Don, who is, like, she's like the Larry Bird of the WNBA. She's fucking amazing, bro. If you like skill, like, no one in the WNBA really, like, dunks and, like, has a bunch of athleticism, but if you like skill for basketball, she's the one to watch. Liz Cambridge, Aja Wilson, Kia Nurse, Brittany Griner. That's just people off the top. Sylvia Folks. There's a lot of WNBA players, bro.
Man, that's what's up, dude. I'm actually glad you know those names. I got Brittany Griner on my list or whatever because I did a list, too, off the top of my head. I didn't want to cheat or anything like that. I'm glad because you said you've been watching it because I do feel like the men have to support it, and not just, like, men as far as, like, viewers, but the men in the NBA. I think the biggest thing is that women have to support it because that's a big disparity. It's like women ain't watching the WNBA. They're watching Love and Hip Hop. So I don't know how to bridge that gap. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I got Candace Parker, Cheryl Swoops, Reggie Miller's sister. I can't think of her name right now.
Oh, she's retired, though.
I know. But these are the names, you know what I mean, that I know. Lisa Leslie, Diana Taurasi. I'm like, this is the stuff that I know. So like you said, you gave people probably some, like, newer and, like, fresher people. I'm like OG with it. Like, I know, like, the old people that's been probably retired and all this type of stuff. And, you know, of course, I've seen some people, like, come out in the draft. You know, Candace was, you know, pretty girl or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, stuff like that. Let's see here. That's pretty cool. I'm glad that I got the right person on it. I knew this would be good for you, man. So I'm actually glad you know a lot of those names. I literally didn't know any of them except for one. Have you ever, you already answered this shit. You better than me already. So you did say you have watched, like, a full game. Have you watched, like, college, too, or just the WNBA?
I've watched some college back in the day. Like, back in my high school days, I was a college basketball probably more than the NBA itself, and that's both women's and NCAA men's basketball. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. College, like I said, I know I kind of talked about the YMCA or whatever. That was kind of a low-key, a high-key shot. But I say, like, the college women's is more exciting than the NBA. It's just like a lot more hype around it. I don't know if it's just because of the tournaments and this, that, and the third, but you got coaches like Pat Summitt, you know, the winningest women's coach or whatever. You always hear about like UConn, but the WNBA is a different story. It's just not as exciting. Like I said earlier, the game, some of the games, bro, and again, if you watch 60 to 70, and I was like, yo, who is, I'm like, these like some high school games or something like that. Like, who's doing 60 to 70 point games or whatever? But I've seen, at least it seems like, I've seen some games where they were a little bit higher scoring, where it was like 89 to 90 or something like that. And I'm like, man, that's a college game. You know, that's just how I think about it in my head or whatever, because I'm just like, okay, why do people watch? What are they watching? What are they looking for? And then again, you think, like, I look into the stands. I remember watching games and looking to the stands and not seeing people. And I was just like, damn, you know what I mean? It makes you feel a certain type of way because I want people to support it and I want people to like it. But at the same time, I'm like, man, what? There's just a big disconnect or whatever, man. Okay, can you name any teams?
Yeah, you got the Chicago Sky, the LA Sparks.
God damn it.
There's so many teams that freaking changed, like, off in the WNBA. Like, Connecticut's team, I don't even fucking know the name of them anymore. Damn it, who else? Shit. I know more than this, bro. I know more than this. The Seattle Storm, the Washington Mystics. I think that's all I can do off the top of my head. I'm not good at shit off the top of my head. Man.
No, that's good, man. Like I said, I got the right person, man. All I knew was the Sparks. I was like, the Sparks? That was the only one that came to my mind or whatever, man. Because I do want people, you know, for those of you who do take a listen to this, go out, check the different teams out. Google is your friend or whatever. Catch some of these games. This is not a knock on the WNBA. That's not what this episode is. I really would like people to go out and support it. That's why I'm talking about it. I haven't even talked about the NBA on this podcast, but I'm talking about the WNBA because I believe this is important. Now, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to talk my shit or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm going to say my little comments because I want y'all to hear the honesty. I'm not going to sit here and fake like, I love the WNBA, and I watch all these different games, and I know all these different things. I don't. So, you know what I mean? And I think I'm not the only man that's like that. I know there are other people that have that same type of sentiment. And hopefully by the end of this, you will say, man, let me at least just take some time to go support them or whatever in some type of way. Do you think the WNBA will ever reach, say, women's tennis or soccer popularity rise?
I don't think the WNBA will ever reach that type of popularity until they change the way that they market it. And that's been the issue with the WNBA since it launched, is that they try to market it the same way as they did early on in the NBA. And the difference with that is, even when you look at the way they cut their commercials, is they cut it like with like the highlights, and they're doing layups and stuff. It doesn't work. Like, with an NBA highlight, you're getting dunks. You're getting people dunked on drastically. You're not getting that really in the WNBA.
Right.
And because of that, you're not going to get someone, a casual watcher, to tune in until they find a way to highlight the skill aspect of the WNBA, because that's what it is. WNBA is a chess match, where I would say, like, the NBA is more about who can overpower who.
Mm-hmm.
So because of those differences, until you learn how to market that, it's going to be hard to reach that type of height that women's tennis does.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And, you know, I share a similar sentiment. Like you say, when I was just looking into this and just going and seeing how long the NBA has been around, I'm like, my thing is they need time. You know what I mean? Like, with the fact that they started in 1997 and that they've been growing, they have this new CBA now, they you know, it's going to take some time because even in just researching, they said, this isn't the first time that this has happened. They said with other major leagues, and I got a little quote, you know, here I'm going to read in a minute. With other major leagues, the same thing happened when they first started, and it took time and years, and I'm like, when I looked at that, I'm saying, it's like, you know, it's like them, they're like hip-hop, you know what I mean? Like, it's still young, you know what I mean? We not that far removed from when this organization was founded. I hope they reach that point. Especially looking at their Olympic performance. Like, I don't even know how that doesn't get highlighted more. That kind of trips me out that they're that successful overseas and just, you know, worldwide or whatever, And I didn't even know about that because clearly you know about the memes. You know about the dream team, the redeemed team, the team that lost. But this, you know about the memes. And it's like the women been killing it year after year after year after year that they've been a part of it. And it's like that's kind of forgotten about because, I mean, literally you hear about, I don't know, bobsledding, polo, swimming, this and that. And I'm like, I should know more about the women. I shouldn't have had to look this information up to know this information just off the top of my head. We'll see, like you say, marketing-wise, I definitely think that's dope. And then, like I say, man, I think it's gonna take more time, you know what I mean? But women, they got to pick what they want. They gotta pick, you know, like, what y'all going to support, man? What is y'all going to get behind? So you talked about it a little bit, but hopefully maybe this will be in a different way. But, yes, what do you think about the WNBA in general? Like, what do you think in general? I know you said, you know, you watch it with your daughter and all of that. Like, what do you think about it?
I mean, as someone who just enjoys basketball, it serves its purpose. I think women's basketball is way more popular overseas. Like, the overseas leagues, women can make way more money.
Right.
It's so out of convenience. I think they do both because I think the seasons are kind of offset. So a lot of women playing the WNBA were also playing overseas, and that's how they kind of make their money. But I think ultimately, like, the WWE – why do I want to keep saying the WWE? The WNBA, the WNBA is going to – this deal that the new CBA, and I know we're kind of working our way to that.
Mm-hmm.
They're betting on their players, which is good. And I think if they have a renewed focus on making it a must watch, then it can be. And I know they don't have as many teams. They used to have more. I think at one point they were up to like 22 until they had to cut down. So,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I just really women's professional sports has been hard in everything. Everything. There was a women's hockey league. People don't really know about it or talk about, like, NHL worked that into the All-Star weekend now. But, like, the WNBA. Now, there was a women's football league in the States at one point in time, like, years and years ago. So it's women's sports is just hard to I think, make as much money. And that's unfortunate because a lot of times they're just as skilled. They may not be as physically overpowering, like I said, as the NBA or other male sports, but they're just as skilled as anyone else.
Outside of, like, tennis and golf, you know, like, those names, it's like I know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more – they're more visible and you know, and, like, a, you know, of course, the USA women's soccer team, like, they're working on their CBA or whatever because they, like, look, we doing way better than the men. The men still making more than us. Like, literally, I know more about the women's soccer than the men. Like, I don't even know. I barely know outside of, like, I don't know, maybe one person, I can't even say his name right now, that's on the men's soccer team or whatever. But it's like, I've seen the different women's faces or whatever, like Hope Solo. Like I know kind of like, okay, these different names. But the men, I'm sorry, I don't know this man. If we were walking past each other on the street, I wouldn't even be able to pick him out. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about the men's.
So I have a theory on why women's sports in general isn't as popular or makes as much money as men's. You want to hear it?
I do want to hear it.
All right, so this is not me, this is not how I feel, but this is me saying generally.
Okay.
I think that because when men play sports, women see men like we enjoy sports. So men enjoy sports; they enjoy seeing the competition. But for men's sports, you can get women to like it more, even if they only have a passing interest in it, because to women, men are sexy when they're competing. Right?
Yes.
But let's take that on the flip side, women. A woman's sport should be easier to market because women, the woman's body is more aesthetically pleasing, but because they're in a sport that they're sweating, they're competing, the last thing on their mind is trying to look sexy while they're fighting for fucking rebounds,
yeah.
That they don't get that same sex appeal that women have for men's sports with men who would only have a passing interest because the women are sitting there sweaty. They're not, men have a habit of objectifying women. We all know this.
Yeah.
But because a woman sitting there doing something physical, and mentally that block of objectifying them is gone, now men aren't turning into women's sports like women tune into men's sports.
No, that makes perfect sense, especially to me, because when I heard you say that, I say feminine. That's all I'm thinking in my head. Like, men don't see it as feminine. You know what I mean? Like, you may look at maybe Serena, but people got all these different comments on Serena. maybe women's volleyball. Like, that volleyball has always been kind of a thing, you know what I mean, because it's kind of sexy and whatever the case may be. So people may catch volleyball, but when I look at these other sports, I don't look at them in that same light.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, even like men, Serena is a great fucking athlete. But what do generally men watch? Oh, look at that ass. Look at those thighs. Look at that body. Like, a lot of men don't actually watch women's sports for the competition. They watch it because they're fucking creeps.
I'm with you on that or whatever. Like you say, it's not necessarily about the skill or this, that, and the third. And I mean, you're right. Because even the women, like I said, my wife, I mess with her all the time, especially when it comes, because she'll tell me she's a fan of this NFL team or this basketball team, and I say, who's the head coach? And she'll guess. Sometimes she's right, sometimes she's wrong. And I say, well, who's the quarterback? And she'll say, what side of the ball does he play on? I say, no, don't ask me no questions. Who's the quarterback? This is the quarterback. I'm like, that's the cornerback. You know what I mean? Or same thing in the NBA or whatever, like, who's the small four, who's the three, who's the coach or whatever. You know, she don't know any of that type of stuff. She know who it used to be. What's his name? Derrick Rose. She like, oh, Derrick Rose looked good. This person looked good. That's all she know. She don't know how many points they scored. She don't know what the standings are. Nothing. But she know how people look. She don't know nothing else. Oh, so one more thing. Do you think it will take a woman successfully transitioning to the NBA, or what would it take? You know what I mean? Because I asked you what you think about the WNBA, but what do you think it will take? You know, again, you talked about the marketing. You've talked about something, even just the interest and that type of stuff. But what about a woman successfully transitioning to the NBA? Because I do think for men to get that picture in their head of the level of competition, they might need to feel like, okay, they not over there just bullshitting. Because I do put the women above the fucking G League. I don't know what the hell is going on in the G League or whatever, but I do kind of know at least a little bit of stuff about what's going on in the WNBA. So what are your thoughts, you know, as far as that?
I don't know if, like, just for safety, if a woman would ever be able to play in it. Like, don't get me wrong, there are women who are, like I said, they're way more skilled than some of the starters in the NBA. We just go off skill, but the physicality, of course, you got to think about safety in that way. You know, we had a UFC fight. It was like the first time in a couple of years where a transgendered woman, a man transitioning to a woman, fought a woman and damn near killed her. So, like, I don't know if for safety reasons. The NBA is very big on that if they ever let that happen. But I do think if we start integrating the women into, like, All-Star Weekend, mm-hmm. like, why can't we have a scrimmage? Like, we have the celebrity.
I knew, yeah.
So why can't we do something like that, very similar, to kind of expose them to a bigger crowd? But in my mind, I'm thinking people generally, if someone's watching an NBA All-Star game, a lot of those people are going to already be kind of aware of the WNBA. I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the perfect answer to it. That may work, but I don't know, man. They pay people a lot smarter than me to figure out how to market this shit.
You know, I'm pretty much in line with you. I actually like that idea because I don't like some of the other ideas the damn commissioner and the league coming up with as far as, like, the, you know, the in-season tournaments and whatever other bullshit they coming up with. I'm like, look, fix the fucking draft. Do better with the damn All-Star Weekend or whatever. I'm like, y'all worried about the wrong shit. But again, I know they're trying to figure out how can we get more revenue. Like, I know it's not about what fans want. That's what pisses me off the most is that y'all claim that this is what it's about and what fans want. And it's like, y'all refuse to give the fans what they actually fucking want because y'all just trying to figure out how can we squeeze some more revenue out of y'all asses. You know? So, the physicality. And I know, you know, everybody's talking about Kobe right now and his statements, and some people are like, Kobe don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Like, people are kind of, like, upset or whatever, but I don't get it. I feel like, look, it's 2020. The NBA is damn near as bad as the NFL, you know, even though I don't talk about the NFL, but I'm like, when we're talking about these calls and all of these different things and the physicality, it's not as physical as it, you know what I mean? It's just not as physical as it used to be. There's a lot of stuff that you cannot do anymore. I mean, again, they talk about these ghost fouls that LeBron gets or whatever. People don't even touch him or whatever. So maybe like in the playoffs or maybe like in the last 2 minutes of a game, it might get a little bit physical. But I'm like, the game just over time, it's not, I mean, I don't know. It's not that physical as the 80s and the 90s were. So I'm like, shit, in this era, I think they could play. Because of the physicality. Like the same reason everybody else may be saying they can't. I'm like, it's not as physical as it used to be. It's light to me. You know what I mean? You barely can touch people. So that's, you know, that's my thought on it. I think, you know, and I think we didn't kind of touch on everything else, but I would like to see it. I think that it's possible. And I don't like the equation of comparing them to college players. Like a woman's college player coming straight to the NBA, probably not. You know, that's not going to happen, but you get somebody from the WNBA that's put on some weight, Brittany Grimes, whoever it is, you know what I mean? Their stature, they're not Dwight Howard and this, that, and the third, but I'm like, I do think that some of those individuals could definitely play and be, I don't know how successful they would be. That's the only other thing, because they show pictures of Giannis when he started and Giannis now. So I'm like, yeah, they probably going to have to bulk up and buff up and put a little bit more weight on. I'm like, but that's the different changes for the NBA. NBA players go through a transition as well from their rookie year to when they've been in the league 10 years, 17 years like LeBron. So I think the women, clearly they would have to go through something as well when you're talking about, you know, strength and conditioning or whatever. Could they get up to that level? I think, you know, at some point. And I would just like to see it. I'm like, until it's kind of like proven wrong, because you have women and all they do is they play against men. So like, when they go and they do shoot-arounds, they do whatever, they don't play against other women. They are literally going out and playing against the, you know, guys or whatever. I saw, what's her name? I think she's a boxer. I can't think of her name right now, but she's a boxer. I think she just won a belt. She's young. She's going at it with Layla Ali right now or whatever. And she talked about the fact that she spars with men. She doesn't spar with women or whatever. And even in her mind, she looks at it a certain way. Because why doesn't she spar with women? And she talked about that on The Breakfast Club. But I'm just like, I think it's possible, you know. And I think that it would be good. I think it would be a good look. I think it will get people to pay more attention if one of them can do that. Because then you can actually see the talent coming from there. It's just like if somebody come from a Villanova or whatever school in the NBA, like, okay, he came from this little Marquette, whatever. He come from this school, but if he ball out in the NBA – it's going to give a little bit more light to that institution. And I think it will do the same thing for the WNBA.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. We've been talking for a minute. CJ, I hope you're still with me. I told my bro, I was like, look, we're going to talk. I was like, this is our first time. Me and him, they got multiple episodes in. I'm like, I got to get you in for this one. Getting into this part and the new CBA pretty much, I'm going to preface, and like I say, I'm going to read some of this, and I just want to hear your thoughts. This is just going to be a back and forth, because really, out of this, I only got like two more questions, and then, you know, we going to get out of here. Per Sports Illustrated, it took decades for the NBA, NFL, NHL, and MLB to become major pro leagues. Each experienced turbulence, disruption long before becoming so dominant in the American sports industry. This is also happening at a time when the U.S. National Women's Soccer Team and U.S. Soccer are battling in court over pay disparities and questionable workplace conditions. WNBA players and their league have engaged in a productive negotiation throughout this entire time. And, you know, just them both working at it on both sides. Just looking at reactions from current players and former players, it seems like everybody is excited about this deal, because I thought I would see more negativity. I thought there would be more voices saying, hey, this isn't enough. This is a good start, which I've seen some comments that it is a good start, but I haven't seen anything negative. This is a deal that earned the full buy-in of both players and the league alike. So everybody bought into this. What's changing? Top players can now make $500,000. The average salary will reach triple digits for the first time at around $130,000, and the maximum base salary will settle at $215,000. For what it's worth, an NBA player will make no less than $898,000 this year. much smaller improvements to the rookie minimum. It goes from $41,965 to $57,000, and veteran minimum goes from $56,375 to $68,000. So, just talking about the numbers, and, you know, we just going to touch on a little bit of these at the time, but I know I told you to go out and read into it. What are your thoughts on the salary now? What are your thoughts on the salary changes?
The salary makes sense. When you look at it, the WNBA makes, I think, less than $50 million a year. That's the whole WNBA in revenue. Cross that with the NBA, which makes $7.4 billion a year. And so when you people, I've heard a lot of, well, I've seen a lot of people over the years compare the salaries and be like, why is there such a huge discrepancy? Well, there's such a huge discrepancy because the salary is based off what the league makes, not necessarily off what you're worth.
Uh-huh.
Like even someone like LeBron is not getting what their value is, but they are restricted by A, what the team makes, what the NBA makes, and what the salary structure is.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at that at the WNBA's revenue, it makes sense. And when you look at it and cross that with what women are able to make overseas, it makes even more sense. They've always made more money overseas than what they've made here. Now that kind of closed the gap. And where that ends up, so that helps the players now in the short term, and where that helps the league in the long term is now some of those players who strictly only play overseas, now you may be able to eventually entice them to come over here, which would then improve the quality of the play in the league, which could then make more people watch it, which then can create more revenue, which then when the next CBA comes around, now players can make even more money. So when you look at everything as a total piece of the pie and the overall picture, this all makes sense in both the short term and the long term for both the players and the league.
Okay. No, that's what's up. And you actually touched on some other things that we're going to get into. So was any of it shocking to you? Because I know I've been hearing about it, and it's kind of just like, damn, like you say, you're right. Like, I knew. I'm like, it's not as it, – they're not – people ain't watching. I'm like, where y'all going to get revenue from? Where are the sponsorships? Where is this? Where? Like, I'm like, okay, I know the revenue is not there, but the women, I'm like, come on, man. They can't be paying these women, you know, pennies on the dollar or whatever. So was any of it, when you were just looking into the numbers, was any of it shocking to you?
It was shocking to me because at one point, the only reason the WNBA was able to sustain for a while is because they were taking money out the revenue of the NBA and putting it into the WNBA.
Yes.
So there was a point in time where the WNBA was not profitable. So it actually surprised me on the flip side because I know that they have less teams than what they had at one point. And I just had thought, okay, the WNBA is probably really just being subsidized at this point still.
Yeah.
Find out that no, the WNBA is actually making a substantial amount of revenue, it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. And it kind of makes sense why they cut down some teams. And, you know, some owners couldn't afford to keep it. It didn't make sense for them. But when you constricted the league, you now made the teams better because you're not where it's only like one great player on each team. Now you're having two, sometimes three great players on the team, which then, you know, that team can then make more money. So it kind of all made sense. If anything surprised me, it was that I was surprised that the WNBA was making that much money.
Okay. Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. What I just said about the rookie minimum, that was interesting to me because I didn't know that. You're talking about from $41,965 to $57,000. Because you hear about, like, NFL, like, free agents and undrafted people getting these big checks, and it's like, damn, $41,000? Like, that sounds ridiculous. Like, it's hard to believe it. And again, when you understand what some of these women are going through, like, people may think, again, because somebody is on TV, because they're this, because they're that, you're thinking that they're on a much higher level than you. You're thinking that they're living a certain type of life. Even though they're not in the NBA, they ain't a WNBA. I couldn't even imagine that somebody, a rookie in the WNBA, was making a minimum of $41,000. I'm like, damn. You know what I mean? I would have expected it to be more. I would have expected, like, you know, the maximum salary for the most highest paid player to be more. But, so these numbers were a little bit startling to me. You know what I mean? I get it. You can't pay them like these other leagues. And like you say, the revenue, it makes sense when you look at it by the numbers. But if you're just a casual fan, it's like, damn, this is shocking. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, wow. So you talked about it a little bit, and this is actually going to summarize that the playing overseas, and this is something that's in the, you know, that's in the CBA as well. The biggest advancement for the players is a 50-50 split and revenue sharing beginning in 2021. Under the previous CBA, players only received about a 20% cut. According to one league source, the WNBA league revenue is $60 million, which equates to about $12 million roughly spread between all the players. At 50-50, the WNBA will mirror the split currently in place in the NBA, and then when you take into account base pay, performance bonuses, prize pools for in-season competitions, and sharing of team marketing deals, WNBA players will experience a 53% increase in total cash compensation. So that was another thing that's, you know, that stuck out to me, was that 53%. I was like, yo, that's a hell of a jump. Like, it sounds so significant, but then again, when you look at the numbers, it's like, that tells you how far away they were before. To have a 53% increase, it's like, this is leaps and bounds. Again, I think they said, somebody, what did I read, like, it's more than 18 times the NBA, CBA, and what normal, you know, when they do CBA, like, restructuring talks and just different leagues or whatever. And even when I see that, it's like, man, this is awesome. But I'm like, damn, it still ain't enough, you know what I mean? Especially, you know, for our women, you know what I mean? You know, this is a WNBA, but these are women as well. And that's probably another thing that people, you know, people kind of forget about or whatever. Because, of course, everybody's like, yeah, pay the men, pay the men, pay the men. And it's like, oh, we don't really give a shit about the women. Yeah, so, like I say, that you know, that's kind of just that first part on the money. This talks a little bit about the overseas stuff. To battle prioritization, which is basically players having to work two jobs, essentially, one in the States and one overseas, like you talked about a little bit earlier, that pays more than the NBA. And that's kind of, you know, weird to me overseas. Like, you always hear about overseas play, and it's like, damn, how much money? Like, I don't know. That's kind of weird, and I ain't going to get into it right now, but that's still kind of just in my head. Like, how are y'all able to do that or whatever with these different teams, and how is it more popular? And again, I know it's probably cool, obviously, to have people coming from the U.S. Like, they just like to see that. They just like to pay for that. They may not even be looking at the skills, and, you know, maybe some coaches are trying to win, but they really just looking at it like over there, the visibility is like a big deal because you got this player that's from America and this, that, and the third. So prioritization issues by 2024, that's what they're trying to battle. Players with more than 3 years of WNBA experience will be obligated to play in the entire WNBA season. So that struck me a little bit, just like what you talked about as far as them getting players to come back. So they've actually put it in the CBA that they have to, you know, play the entire WNBA season. So, like, I think I just heard one individual, I think you kind of mentioned it, she's taking this year off or whatever. She's not playing this year, or I was listening to it on some YouTube or something like that. But she's not playing this year or whatever. I think she is still going to play overseas or whatever, but she's not playing in the WNBA. It also says if they fail to report to their WNBA team because they are playing in another league, they will be deemed ineligible for the entire WNBA season and thus forfeit their WNBA salary. Players with under 3 years of WNBA experience will be exempt from this policy. The WNBA will grant various other exemptions, including for players to play for the national teams or in the Olympics, and for lower-earning players. The prioritization policy could motivate foreign leagues to restructure their season and postseason schedules so that players aren't required to choose one league over another. So just hearing that, like I said, I know I kind of, you know, sent you out there and, you know, just told you to read on some of this information. So what do you think about that? You talked about it a little bit before, but how they've structured it, do you think they should have that in there where they, you know, because they're doing this with the money, we're not going to require those players who've been in the league longer, you have to play the entire year here.
Yeah, because I think when you, the NBA would never allow people to go and play in multiple leagues, period. Like, so the fact that they have over the years taken into consideration the fact that their players can make more money overseas. Now that they're upping their salaries, like, all right, we took care of you guys. We understood since the league started. You said it started in 1997, mm-hmm. Right? So we're over 20 years at this point. So we've understood what you guys have had to do to provide for your families. Now that we're helping alleviate that some, we need your focus to be here until our season ends. That makes sense. You can't be mad at that.
So from everything you think, so you think it's fair. With the money, you think it's fair. Because I'm still like, man, you know, and again, they did talk about there are going to be some exemptions and stuff like that. But if I'm like whoever the number one player is or whatever, and you telling me, let's say, you know, because, I mean, it says up to maybe about 500,000, which I don't know exactly how that would break down. It's going to be interesting to see what the salaries actually turn out to be. But it's like, let's hypothetically say, you are a man who wears many hats. You telling me, okay, cool, yeah, I'm going to make more money. Cool, but I could be making that, and I could still do this. I feel like, you know, like, it's still more of a choice if I want to do both, opposed to you saying no. Now, because of this new CBA, you have to do this. You don't have an option. So you could make whatever $500,000 plus another $175,000 playing overseas, but no. You're going to be limited, in a sense, to this. They did talk about marketing deals and stuff like that, but, you know, like I said, this is not even a take away from what you're saying, but you think it's fair what's being presented.
I think, so I look at it from this standpoint, is if you have a full-time job and you decide to have a part-time job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your part-time job, your schedule there is determined on when you're not working your full-time job, not the other way around. So if you're paying me my full-time salary and you're saying, all right, while you're here, we need you here. Now, you can do whatever after you clock out for these 8 hours. If you want to go work another job, we can't say nothing about that.
Gotcha.
But while you're on our clock, we need you focused on this job. That's the way I'm looking at this. Because that's okay. Saying you can't go play overseas. They're just saying you can't. You once our season ends, then you can go start your overseas season. If that's what you want to do. So I don't have any problem with it.
Okay. Yeah, I get you. Because yeah, I'm looking at it more so like if I'm working a full time job and you know some companies are like that where they literally tell you you can't work another job, which is kind of weird. I don't know how people would like tell you like how they would know or whatever, but I guess you got to tell them. But, like, where they tell you, no, you can't work another job. You know what I mean? Because you're working here. So, I see what you're saying. You know, I see what you're saying.
Now, if their CBA said, absolutely, you can't play overseas at all, even when our season ends, that's when they'll be like, oh, no, y'all true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, y'all bug. quality of life improvements include an enhancement of the mental health and wellness program. While all players will receive premium comfort tickets for flights and no longer have to share hotel rooms. So this was very striking to me, and I wanted to find some more information on the details of the health and wellness programs that they're going to be implementing. I couldn't really find a lot right now. Hopefully some more details will come out. Y'all be out on the lookout for that and definitely send those things to me, the links or whatever, if y'all do find something. But what do you think about that? Just hearing about health and wellness as well as the whole premium comfort ticket for flights and sharing hotel rooms. Like, did you even know about any of that stuff?
I did not. And yeah, that's kind of wild when you think about it, but I'm glad that they're making it better because it does need to be improved. But yeah, that's just crazy, man.
I'm the same way. And the little bit of information I did find about health and wellness was, I guess they just didn't have it. Like, I know the NFL got it, I know the NBA has it, but apparently, I guess maybe they didn't have a budget for it, or maybe they didn't allocate for it, because I do still think, okay, $60 million to the league, $12 million to the players, or whatever, out of that $60 million that's going to the league, I'm like, where the hell is the other money going? What are y'all doing with that? And of course, I'm knowing it's going into people's salaries, it's going into owners' pockets, and this, that, and the third, and I'm like, damn, y'all couldn't, if this has been around since 1997, it's now 2020, y'all didn't have no health and wellness stuff? And some of the stuff we're going to read is still shocking because, like you say, it's like, damn, y'all didn't have some of these, what a normal person would think is basic shit. I can almost believe some of these players were probably having to pay out of their pockets for some of this stuff. Like, they probably was recouping it once they got over there and they compensated them once they get over there. But it's like just the traveling back and forth is like, this is kind of crazy. You know what I mean? And again, we're talking about a professional sport in the United States, so. It was just kind of crazy to me. Mothers and expecting mothers, and I was talking to my wife about this, and I'm going to read more of this, but it is interesting because that is another thing that people have to take into account when you're dealing with women and when they're in these certain positions of power, is that unlike men, they probably will have to take off, but they're never going to be pregnant. It's going to have to be some type of physical thing or whatever the case may be. They're never physically going to be pregnant. It'll have to be some other illness and ailment. But women, no matter what sport it is, there's going to be that time where they're going to need maternity leave, and it's like, you would think, naturally, everybody has a certain level of maternity leave benefits unless you're working 20 hours or whatever. Like, yeah, if you're working something full-time or whatever, you would think you have some type of maternity benefit. So looking at this, it says mothers and expecting mothers will also benefit from the CBA. Players will have their salary paid in full on maternity leave, child care stipends, and players who already have children will be provided with a two-bedroom apartment during the season. In addition, veteran players will be eligible for up to $60,000 in reimbursed expenses related to adoption, surrogacy, oxide, cryopreservation, or infertility treatment. So just talking about mothers and all of these different things and just thinking about that, what do you think about that and the fact that these things have not been in place up to this point?
I think it just speaks to how, like, unprofitable the league was at some point.
So you think it's just they couldn't afford it? Or they...
I don't know if... Okay, so we already talked about it. I mentioned how, like, at one point, the WNBA was only allowed to stay around because the NBA was giving them money.
Right, yep.
So I think, like, they were stuck in that mindset. Maybe they wanted to see, make sure that they were going to be sustainable for a few years until they implemented some stuff like this. But I have to think that with all the facilities that these teams have, maybe they were getting some of this, but it was, like, on a team-by-team basis.
Yep.
There was nothing official league-wide.
Yep.
That's what was probably happening.
And you are right. When I was doing my research on this, that's some of the stuff that I found, that there were, like, team-by-team things. This was not a set and standard policy and making different things available. So it's like, dang, not only are these women playing for less money to be in the sport, and you know, let's say it's, you know, something they love, and I know how some people will say, well, look, if you love it, then why are you worried about it? Like, if it don't pay enough, you should go do another profession that pays more. It's just kind of like the whole thing with tipping. It's like, look, you wanted to be a waitress. You know waitresses only make this much an hour. If you want to make more money, go do something else. But this is just unfortunate because, like I say, I do think about that relationship between them and the NBA, and it's like, yo, this is kind of startling that y'all, you know, again, this is a woman's league. You would think naturally women have kids. Women got to do this. Women may want to adopt, you know what I mean, whatever the case may be throughout the year, and even the whole thing about providing a two-bedroom apartment, that tells you, you know, again, like, man, we can't afford these things. Like, we can't even afford, like, they living, and again, you wouldn't think this way, but they're living like people who work regular jobs. Some of these salaries are equivalent to people who work in regular jobs that ain't even at the C level or whatever. They're at some experience, but that's the equivalent of the money they're making throughout the year.
Yeah, that's just crazy, man. It's basically work a job where you're traveling and it's physically demanding and you're making the same thing that, like, I don't even a supervisor at fucking McDonald's is making.
Yep.
That's crazy, man.
Yep, exactly. We only got a couple more people. This has been good. I hope y'all enjoy this. And I wanted to make it fun. I wanted to make it a little bit different. It's not like a mini-show, but I wanted to kind of give it that, like, mini-show format or whatever. So we just kind of going through these things or whatever. There's also a major on-court change forthcoming in the form of an in-season tournament called the Commissioner's Cup. WNBA players will have plenty of incentive to perform well in the tournament, since there could be a minimum of $750,000 in prize money involved. So I don't know if you even have any thoughts on that, if you've, you know, heard it. Like, you know, the term, it's more money, so I thought it was a good thing or whatever. Do you even have any comments on that, just, you know, that they may be coming up with that?
So the whole in-season tournament thing, I know this idea has been kicked around for the NBA too. Like, I have to see it be executed for it to make sense to me, because to me it just seems like a slowing down of the season to all of a sudden have this tournament. And if you have a mid-season tournament, like, does that take away from the playoffs? Like,
exactly.
I don't know. It's just, for me, like, a whole tournament-style thing is exciting for the playoffs. Maybe they're thinking, all right, well, if we can throw a mid-season one in there, too, we can generate and charge higher ticket prices for the tournament games and whatnot. Like, I'm sure there's a financial reason to it.
Yeah.
Just as a consumer, from my standpoint, it doesn't seem like something. I know it's not something I would want, but I don't know if that's the general consensus or not.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm glad you said it, because you're coming at it from a basketball perspective. It's like, okay, college is one thing, whatever. Like, college, okay, boom, college. But it's like, yo, what does this mean? Like, because that was my first thought, even with the NBA. So if somebody wins the in-season tournament, how does that impact the overall record? How does that impact seeding, home court advantage? Like, what the hell does that even mean? Like, what does it mean? Again, making a little bit more money and, yeah, some extra stuff to do, but again, it's really just, I just don't get it. I don't know if it's adding more, like you say, I would have to see it too, because I really just can't see it from a player perspective, what the benefits are.
Yeah.
Last but not least, the new W, and this was important to me to mention this, last but not least, and like I said, it took me a while to find this. Last but not least, the new WNBA CBA will include a detailed policy concerning domestic intimate partner violence, which previously did not exist. So it essentially was left to the team's discretion to address. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because, again, I guess people maybe didn't think about it with these individuals being women. But the fact that they didn't have anything, like, in place, and that players were able to go back out and play after different domestic, you know, violence incidents and stuff like that was a little bit shocking to me, because, again, I'm like, this is a professional sport. How are some of these basic fundamental foundations of business not in place for something that's been around this long?
Yeah, and I read something before, and anyone who's, like, more versed in this, don't come at me if my numbers are a little bit off. But I think that domestic violence is almost just as high in lesbian relationships. And I know not everyone in the WNBA is a lesbian. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some that are. But I believe the last thing that I read that, yeah, domestic violence in lesbian relationships is almost just as high as heterosexual relationships. So when you think about that, like, we know how a man would be treated in the NFL and NBA if they were arrested for domestic violence, right?
We know how it would be treated in the media, because this stuff you don't even...
The media goes without saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I just did a quick Google, so it's like 43.8% of lesbian women and 61.1% of bisexual women have been involved in domestic violence.
Yeah.
That's fucking high as shit, bro.
Yeah.
So you have to have something to penalize if it happens. Like, so it makes sense. I'm just surprised that they're just now getting on that.
Yes, no, I'm definitely glad you brought up those numbers. I thought this was, you know, again, we see the media cycle. We see the media circus, and it's interesting that these things also, you know, don't get highlighted. I think I've heard about maybe a few different things about some type of domestic violence, something with a girlfriend, and you don't know how serious it is, you know what I mean? But it's like these are professional athletes, you know what I mean? So it's different from them just dating whoever they're dating, because, again, these are individuals who are working and conditioning their bodies and things like that. But we should have the same amount of awareness and concern that we do have for the NFL for this. It's like, look, if something happened in the NFL, somebody getting suspended, they're getting put on the commissioner's list. Something happened in the NBA, they're getting suspended. There's an investigation. But in the WNBA, it's just like, apparently it's been like some type of free fall. And they did have something in place. But this is going to be far more extensive. Again, it said it's going to be a detailed policy concerning domestic intimate partner violence. And again, I definitely salute that. That is it. That is all. We talked about a lot of stuff. If y'all were expecting something else, I apologize. I enjoyed this. I don't give a damn how everybody else feel or whatever. Y'all know how I feel about my podcast, whatever. I enjoyed this. I'm speaking with my brother. It's the first time I had him on. Man, do you have, any final thoughts, any things that we did not touch on that you may have looked at about, you know, this new CBA or whatever? And then we're going to, wrap it up.
No, I mean, we touched on everything I kind of was hoping and expected us to touch on. So I got nothing left.
All right. So look, man, again, thank you for coming on, man. I have to have you back. I literally was sitting there thinking about it, and I say, damn, like, I'm going through and I'm doing my show notes and I'm on Podchaser and I'm updating my features and I'm just doing all this different stuff kind of in the background or whatever. And I say, damn, man, I have not even thought to have this guy on my show. And it's not even like, it's not even a question. Like, I told Ralph, I'm like, bro, it's not even, you know, y'all ain't even really got to say it, but I don't be thinking about it or whatever. And I say, man, the fact that these individuals have thought about me, I really do appreciate that. And again, when I'm looking at it and I'm like, I got to figure it out. Like, I got to, like, quit bullshitting. I got to sit down. I got to come up with some type of show. So when I saw this come on social media, I thought this would be a good thing. I didn't even know if we would be able to record this because it was short notice. Because obviously, I got something else planned because I think there are some more serious or deeper conversations that I do want to get into. But I'm going to save those for another conversation, man. Go ahead. Get the people your socials, man. Like I say, thank you for coming. And I'm gonna get us out of here after that.
All right, cool. Once again, you guys can follow me at CEO Hayes, at CEO HAIZE. You can also follow my solo podcast at Awaken Soul Pod. And for any other podcasts that I do, go to thebreakingmedianetwork.com where you can find all my podcasts and then as well as several others that are hosted by beautiful black ass podcasts. That's what they are. It's beautiful black ass podcast.
Hey, y'all go check them out, man. Y'all know I don't recommend a lot of people. I just do stuff differently, whatever. I move a different way because I really have to enjoy stuff. And again, sometimes I can enjoy stuff from afar. Like people I don't regularly listen to, I can still support because I know they're making dope content. It may not necessarily be my preference, but it may be somebody else's or whatever. This guy is one that I would definitely give my stamp to, works hard. The love lesson bad ass, I got to watch out for that because it's all kind of stuff, shit they be talking about on that one. But it's some good stuff on that too or whatever, especially if y'all some, you know, whatever, freaky in the sheets or whatever. Definitely go check that out, man, because everything this dude is smart. Like, it's intellectual. It's not some low-ball, low-hanging fruit type of shit. That's one of CJ's favorite. You know, he likes to say that low-hanging fruit or whatever. He don't do no low-hanging fruit type of shit or whatever. Again, I'm AJ. This is the What We Gonna Do podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at What We Gonna Do Pod. Please go check out the premium podcast playlist exclusively on podbean.com. I dropped 3 new playlists. Outside of that, I think that's pretty much it. All right, y'all. Until next time, peace.